It's beginning to rain, 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 in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Hello, friends. I'm Tex Mars. You know, I'm reading for the book of Revelation, chapter 22. And that's two incredible verses, isn't it? Verses 6 and 7 of chapter 22. These sayings are faithful and true. The Lord God sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. You're his servants, are you not? Well, I'm one of his servants. And I'll tell you something. He has sent his holy prophets, an angel, to show unto them what is going to be done in the last days leading to his coming again. And Jesus said, I come quickly. Boy, when certain events of the last days transpire, he is coming quickly. And blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. My friends, you know, keep the book of prophecy that's in this Bible close to your heart. Keep the Bible by your bedstand. And let me tell you something, my friends, you keep the sayings of this prophecy in your heart and always bring them to remembrance. Jesus is coming again quickly, and he's told you things that are going to happen. And that's why we're starting a new series today, and it is amazing series. Oh, it's going to take us a while to proceed on this series. I don't know, I might preach on this series for the next 12 years. It's so much fun. I don't know, but it's amazing because it reveals our destiny and the destiny of the world. We're going to be looking at prophecy in a different way today, the way God said it. And here we have Revelation, but hey, we're going to talk about what Paul had to say, what the Holy Ghost told Paul to say in his letters to the various churches. And of course, he said something in the book of Acts as well. So we're going to look at the prophecies in the letters of Paul. It's going to be a continuing series. I don't know how long it's going to go until either I run out of things to say or Jesus comes again. And we're going to be looking, examining the prophecy in the letters of Paul. And it's going to be a lot of fun. You're going to find out if there really is a rapture, when it's going to occur, what has to happen before the rapture occurs, if it occurs at all. Oh, it's going to be controversial. I love controversy, don't you? You're going to find out what the mystery of iniquity is and what the mystery of godliness is that opposes this iniquity. You're going to find out just how Jesus Christ comes to destroy the works of the devil and how you might fall victim if you don't watch out to the strong delusion that is to come upon the whole world during the hour of temptation. Yes, there is a strong delusion so that people will believe the lie and be damned. Oh, I know there are people out there that don't believe that anybody could be damned by God. He doesn't damn anybody. Why, he's so wonderful and merciful and lovable, and he's just like a big teddy bear. He would never damn anybody. Condemn people? God? Oh, well, that's politically incorrect. But we just deal here with truth. I don't care whether, you know, whether it's politically incorrect or not. The world could be very shocked someday to discover what's true, what's real. But we're going to get real. And we're going to get some people out there mad and furious and angry because we deal in things that should not be talked about. Unutterable, unspeakable things, like the Word of God. And that's so powerful that it makes men angry. It just brings them into fits of contortion and venom and foaming at the mouth. I'm telling you, my friends, I've got case files of people who read their Bibles to devil-possessed men and women, and those people began to fall to the floor, and their bodies went into contortions and strange shapes, and they began to spout out stuff from devils in their mouths after being read the Word of God. That's how powerful it is. Devils do not like to hear it, and that's why I like to say it. You know, some people have told me that when they're feeling low and they're depressed, they get out the Bible and they start reading some exciting parts of it that are most joyful, and they just get a good feeling of happiness in their heart. I do believe that. And I think if you just start praising God, the same thing is true, because God inhabits the praises of His people. And that means if you praise Him, He inhabits your praises. He comes to stay with you. Well, I guess in a way, God is like a person, although He's greater than any person. He likes to be praised. And you know, the thing about God is, sometimes my wife Wanda, she'll praise me on some things, and I know she's stretching it a little bit. You know, maybe she thinks I'm down, I'm a little bit depressed or something, and she wants to make me feel good. She doesn't really lie, but she just tries to, you know, put the best face forward. She stretches it a little bit. You know, every once in a while, you know, I'll give a message, and I know it's really not the best when I finish, and I'm sort of disappointed, because I really wanted it to be a strong and powerful message and persuade the whole world. Well, you never can persuade the whole world, but, you know, I just keep thinking I'm gonna do with the next sermon, the whole world is going to believe this. But they never do. But they will never do that. But anyway, I'm a little disappointed. And Wanda sees that, and she says, "Oh, that was a fine sermon, sweetheart. That was just great." Well, I smile. I know she's stretching it a little bit. That's what wives are supposed to do, isn't it? Of course, every once in a while, I just think I've just given the best of sermons. Oh, I'm just so thrilled and so happy. And I say, "Boy, I just really did a good job." And we're driving back from the church. I say, "What do you think, Wanda?" She says, "Well, that left a little bit to be desired." "I think you should have covered this or that." And I'm thinking, "What do you mean? Everybody out there loved it." "Well, one time they even stood up to applaud me." She says, "Well, yeah, I guess they did that time. But, you know, really, you could have done better." And I'm thinking, well, I'll tell you, you know, here I'm thinking I'm doing great. It just takes your wife just to deflate you just a little bit. But maybe God put that in her heart. You know, boy, she's not going to let me be too puffed up. She keeps me straight. And then when I need a little puffing up, well, she handles that too. You know, wives are pretty good at that, aren't they? They know which way to go sometimes. And I don't know. They keep we guys in line, but she's not listening to today's message. See, I can say all these things about her. One time Wanda said to me that a woman called her on the phone here at the ministry, and she says, "You just won't believe all the things Tex says about you on the radio." And Wanda came back to me that night. She says, "What are you saying about me on the radio?" And I said, "Well, did you ask that lady what I said?" She says, "No, she wouldn't tell me." I said, "Well, neither am I going to." She said, "Well, I'll get out the tapes and listen to them." But she never did. So see, friends, I can just say whatever I want to. And you won't tell her, will you? We'll keep it a secret. Oh, I love it. I've asked you several times, and you know, not many of you have revealed these things. Although every once in a while somebody squeals. Somebody rats on me, and I get in trouble. I get in the doghouse. Well, we're going to have the prophecies in the letters of Paul. You know, Paul didn't have a wife to worry about, but he had a lot of friends. And God sent him a thorn in the flesh anyway, somebody to buffet him all of his life. He prayed that it be lifted. Now, I'm not saying that one is a thorn in my flesh. Please, friends, do not say, Tex said you're a thorn in your flesh. No, no, no. Unless it's like the thorn on a rose, of course. But anyway, we're going to cover that. But you know, there's a song that I think goes with prophecy. It is. Prophecy's great because it reveals the beginning and the end. And it tells you the end from the beginning. And hey, that's the way it should be. And that's great. And God is great. And this is one of the greatest songs of all time, I believe, How Great Thou Art. And a very unusual group, you probably heard about them, the Statler Brothers. They're going to sing this song, How Great Thou Art. And then we're going to go right into part one of our series, Prophecies in the Letters of Paul. The Statlers, How Great Thou Art. Thessalonians in the first part, and that was very thrilling because we saw that, yes, the church is going to be caught up to be with the Lord. Caught up. Now, is that the rapture? Well, the Bible doesn't use the term rapture, and if you want to have your own term on it, that's okay. I mean, your own word of definition, that's okay. I like what God says. He says we'll be caught up in the clouds, and we'll be caught up. What do you want to call that? Being caught up in the air. And now don't tell me that's not going to happen, because it certainly is. And right before we're caught up, the saints that have gone on before us are going to come out of the graves. And they're going to go up even before us, and we'll meet them in the air. You know, there's an old gospel song about that great meeting in the air. A lot of people deny the rapture. Well, okay, don't. Well, that's fine if you don't like the word rapture. You know, sort of like the Trinity. I can't find either one, the Trinity or the rapture there. But I know this in 1 John. It says there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one.
Now, if you want to deny the Trinity, well, that's all right with me, but don't deny 1 John. There are three that bear record in heaven, and these three are one. A lot of people harp on the one, and other people harp on the three. And they get all confused. Yeah, there's three, they say. And you people that just believe in one are a bunch of heretics. And the ones that just believe in the one say, well, you people that believe in three are a bunch of heretics. Sometimes it's just a matter of semantics. Now, not all the time. There are a few heretics on both sides. Don't get me wrong. But oftentimes, they just don't understand the word games. I don't like word games. When people ask me, do I believe in the Trinity or do I believe that God is one? Because it does say in the Old Testament, you know, the Lord thy God, O Israel, is one. And some people say, well, now, do you believe that text or do you believe in that old Trinity? And other people say, well, that text, do you believe in the Trinity? You don't believe in that oneness stuff, do you? And I say, well, I'll tell you what I do believe. 1 John, you know, and what it says there, there are three that bear record in heaven, and these three are one. And, you know, both sides usually walk away saying, well, I'm glad text believes just like I do. Well, and, you know, it gets down to, you just quote the Bible to them, and they just interpret it the way they want to. That's very sad. I mean, Peter says in the Bible that prophecy is of no private interpretation. But you can confound people a lot just by quoting the Bible to them. Like the man on the radio one time was wanted to debate me. He was trying to say that, you know, Buddhists and Hindus and all of them are going to get to heaven if they're sincere in their beliefs. And he wanted to challenge me. He said, I'm a Christian and I believe this sincerely. I said, well, you know, Jesus said in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. He said, he just screamed. This was on the air. Remember, it's KLBJ Radio, probably the number one talk show in the state of Texas at the time. Paul Pryor happened to be the host then. But this guy had called in. He says, well, Tex Mars, that's your interpretation. I said, well, let me repeat it again. It's right from the Bible. Let me quote it. Doesn't have anything to do now with what I believe or what I don't believe. It's just what God said. And I quoted him the same thing, what Jesus said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And the man blurted out again in response. He said, but that's your interpretation, Mr. Mars. I said, I'm not interpreting anything. I'm just quoting you what Jesus said. What is your interpretation of it? He said, well, you know, my interpretation is you can believe in any God. I said, well, that's your interpretation of what Jesus said? He said, well, no, that's what I believe. I said, oh, that's what you believe. Well, that's just fine. But that's not what Jesus said. And, you know, the guy couldn't get it in his head. He came back again a third time and said, but that's your interpretation. Now, friends, If I told you that it was raining outside and it was pouring, I mean, and you and I together were standing there and it was pouring, raining, and I said, it's raining outside, and you told me, well, that's your interpretation. I would have to ask you, well, what does it look like to you, pal? Is it sunshine? Is it snow? Looks like rain to me. Well, that's your interpretation. I'd feel like saying, well, fella, don't put on a raincoat. Don't get your umbrella. Just go stand out. And whatever you think that is out there, you just go stand out there, the lightning and the thunder and the rain coming down. You just go stand out there, and while you're standing out there, and I'm going to stay in here in the nice and toasty and warm under shelters, let me know whether it's rain or not, would you? How you interpret that? Because some people are just such, I know you're going to think I'm so harsh, but they're so much just plain fools. They're idiots. And they want so much to have things the way they want that, as far as they're concerned, this sounds terrible because I think to even imagine it, God can go jump off a cliff somewhere, as far as they're concerned. God's word can just be burnt in a fire. They don't care because they have their own private interpretation of the way things ought to be. Well, friends, I'm telling you right now, on Judgment Day, there's going to be a lot of people that say, well, Lord, I interpreted that a lot different than you're interpreting it. And I think we have a great judge. And he's going to read to them from his word. And they're going to say, well, Lord, I didn't understand it that way. I have a different interpretation. And he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Because there are people, you see, my friends, listen to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 talks about people who deceitfully misuse the Scriptures. It says they resort to hidden things of dishonesty. They handle the Word of God deceitfully. They know, their heart knows what it really says. But they are deceivers, and they would have you deceived. And they bring to you, they say, well, let me, I know it seems like it says that in the Scriptures, but let me explain that away. They've got their own private interpretation, which the Apostle Peter warned about. He says that prophecy is of no private interpretation, but it's exactly as the Holy Ghost gave men of God, the prophets of old. And God gave it to them, and they wrote it down exactly as God said. They didn't add commas. They didn't add semicolons. They didn't add words. They wrote it down exactly, and you can trust it. And don't try it. If it is written in plain English, don't try to put your own private interpretation on it. I've always used that as my principle. I love the Scriptures. And I love to refute people using the Scriptures. And I've told you about the time that I debated with Benjamin Krem, the guy that's claimed to be the forerunner for this New Age Christ, the Lord Maitreya. And everything he said about his Lord Maitreya, I kept saying, well, the Scriptures say this and the Scriptures say that. He got so mad, he got tongue-tied and began to holler at me and say, well, Tex Mars, you don't have any mind of your own. All you can do is quote that Bible. And I laughed. I laughed at him. I said, well, the most intelligent mind in the universe wrote this Bible. How can I go wrong? I'm delighted to quote God to you. You see, I love it when Jesus himself, since he wrote this book, the Bible, the devil in the wilderness there attempted to tempt him, and Jesus said, it is written. Now, Jesus spoke authoritatively. He was Lord God. He could have just said, I'm telling you, devil. But he had written it for our edification even today, for eternity. And he said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Even Jesus used Scripture. What if the devil had said, well, that's your private interpretation, Jesus? Oh, even the devil didn't try to pull that one the way people, false teachers, do today with their private interpretations. They'll tell you, you'll say, well, you know, God is against homosexuality. That's in the Bible. Well, now that's your private interpretation. That's your interpretation. That's not what I interpret. You take them and you show them a half dozen verses that are so clear it's like the back of their hand, and they still say, well, that's your interpretation. Friends, these kind of people, you shake the dust off your feet and get out of town. Don't stay around these hypocrites, these liars, these men and women who deceitfully, they handle the Word of God in a deceitful manner. Okay, so you got to stay away from these people. Give them an opportunity to repent. Sure, a couple of opportunities. More if God lets you stay around them. But you better not be under their teaching. You better not stay for very long, or you'll be tainted. It'll get off on you, I guarantee you, my friends, because bad communications brings bad manners, Paul said. Well, today we're going to be talking about the Apostle Paul. You know, there's a lot of prophecy. A lot of people don't realize how much prophecy the Apostle Paul gave to us through the Lord. And today we're going to talk about a specific scripture that is, I think, one of the most clear. No private interpretation here. And yet, let me tell you something, my friends. This one verse of Scripture, this one passage, I should say, of Scripture today has been so deceitfully used, it's unbelievable. Sometimes I scratch my head when some of the biggest names in prophetic ministry in the world, and I'm talking about people ranging from Chuck Smith of Calvary Churches to Dave Hunt, the best-selling author, to Jack Van Impe, on and on and on, Hal Lindsey, they simply, I'm just going to have to tell you, they are liars. Because they deceitfully misuse and mishandle the Scriptures. They twist the Scriptures. Now, we're going to read it sentence for sentence, and I'm going to tell you just the way it is, not because that's the way I want it to be. I suppose if I had written the Bible, I'd have written it differently. But then I'm a lot more stupid than God is, friends. My name is Tex Mars, and I don't have the ability to write the Bible. For one thing, I don't have the power to make the things in here that are prophesied come true. But God does. I've always found it then the better part of wisdom to simply tell you what God says. And you can take it from there. You know, Fox News has a little slogan. They say, "We report, you decide." But in this case, God reports, he decides, and we best just go along with him. There's no decision to be made except in favor of God. And you're very foolish, my friends, if you decide to go a different way. And I think you're going to pay a heavy price. If you're a Christian who deceitfully uses the Word of God, misuses it, believe me, you will not get away with it. Oh, the world. Even they're not going to get away with it. But judgment begins in the house of the Lord. Before the world is judged, you are going to be judged. And you're not going to be happy with the judgment found against you, my friends. Now, we're going to read this, and I tell you, for one thing, I get excited. I must tell you, it just bubbles up in me. It's so thrilling. I just cannot believe it. Sometimes I would just like to read this over and over again because it is so revealing, it is so mighty, and it lifts you. Let me tell you something, my friend. Jesus Christ is coming again. He told us what to look for. Here are the signs. We're going to talk about the rapture, that bad word. Some people have called those who believe in the rapture cult. Well, we're going to find out more about that. And we will see what God has to say about a rapture, about the coming of the Lord and the gathering of his elect, and about the Antichrist. Is the Antichrist going to show up before God's people are caught up in the air to be with the Lord forever? What about that? Now, I'm told by Hunt and Van Impe and Lindsay and all the others that we're going to be raptured first, and then after that, all the events of tribulation occur, including the coming of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. We'll be out of here. We don't have to worry about anything bad happening to us.
Please tune in to Bible Home Church next week as Pastor Mars continues his fascinating series on the prophecies in the letters of Paul.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.